Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Big star day today, you know what I'm saying?
Big time, yeah.
Just backing them out the door. And happy to welcome Kim and Mike Adamly to the studio. You both look fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, better to look fantastic than to feel fantastic.
No. It's the other way around now. It's better to feel better. Kim, I want to start with the plug right away because I want to make sure people know what's coming up in relation to the foundation and this fundraiser. So where are you going? What are you doing?
Where are we going? What are we doing? We are all over the place. This is people are coming out from everywhere telling us their stories. Our next big event is March 1st. We have our launch reception. It's going to be a big to-do at the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. And so we look forward to it.
Probably pretty good food there, I'm thinking.
Oh, fantastic yeah. Food. The best.
Yeah. And tickets and sponsorship information, best place to go is which website?
MikeAdamly.org.
You guys announced this as part of Concussion Legacy Project the other day. Was it Megan Kelly? Is that where
yes.
you were? Yeah. And Mike, I said to you off the air as somebody that I consider you a pal for years. I just hate that you're going through this, which is obvious. And the first thing you said to me was, "Well, there are a lot of guys a lot worse off than I am." So,
yeah.
Just God bless you for fighting the fight.
Yeah, some of the guys, when this thing was first diagnosed, I received hundreds of calls, and a lot of them from, old NFL days and college days. I think the best call I got, I got Joe Namath, he was one of them, and Bob Trumpy and all these people.
How about that?
What's
your favorite one?
Keith Van Horn, the mm-hmm. old Bears. And
sure. What was your favorite one?
A 90-year-old lady, and she said, "Mike?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Mike, this is Phyllis Stram, Hank Stram's widow."
Oh, you're kidding.
She said, "I've been thinking about you, and I'm praying for you."
That's great.
And she said, you were Hank's favorite player. And I said, "How's that?" He said, "You used to drive him crazy, but he loved you."
That's nice.
And I've called her like once a month, and she's still sharp as
all that's great.
Yeah. And one of the things that happens is, and it's a symptom, and it's everybody is, you're riding along pretty well, and then all of a sudden there's a little lapse, and it's real easy to get sorry for yourself and want to just hide in a corner. And I think so many players, because they're not what they used to be, they don't want any part of life even sometimes.
And that makes everything worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was telling you, it's like Douglas MacArthur's famous line, old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And
yeah, when you're a big tough,
you feel like fading
sure.
away.
And when you're a big tough NFL player, the last thing you want to do is admit any sort of vulnerability
right.
or weakness.
Exactly.
When there's nothing wrong for asking for help and needing help. And that's what you guys want to do with the Mike Adamly Project, Rise Above. This Concussion Legacy Foundation is great, but we need to raise money in every possible way. So the singular goal of the Mike Adamly Project, Rise Above, is what, Kim?
To give hope. There's so many people out there. There's a lot of publicity with the NFL players and other now sports players. But what's remarkable is that every time Mike has told his story, we have just been flooded with messages and stories from people, everyday people, who are going through the same thing and didn't know what was going on. They didn't know who to turn to for help, what to do. And when they heard Mike's story, they said, "Oh, this is what's going on," and they write and they tell us our stories. And so this is what we're hoping to do, is to reach out, give them, we're lucky, we're fortunate, because we have access to top doctors, to the resources.
Yeah, not everybody does.
Not
just because you played
does.
In the NFL doesn't mean you retired
no.
loaded and know everybody.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work that way. And you speak for a second about the spouses piece of this, because the family, there's unbelievable stress on you guys.
It isn't just the player.
Yeah.
The player doesn't live in a vacuum. The family is affected in all ways, because the CTE and this type of brain damage, it isn't just memory. It isn't just forgetfulness. It's their mood, their
sure.
rages. their executive functioning, which is their ability to make decisions,
sure.
They're impulsive. And so the family is affected in traumatic ways, big ways. A common pattern that families experience are financial loss, big financial loss, many bankruptcies, foreclosure in homes, divorce. The divorce rate in the NFL is 71%.
Is that right?
Wow.
In the general public, it's 51%. Now, Mike and I actually did divorce, and then we knew something was going on, but as we separated and divorced, and as we found out more and we lived with it, the love wasn't gone. It's just what our lives were torn apart.
Sure.
But we remarried, and we're not the only ones. Where we've gotten a lot of our information is from a wives group, a secret wives group, there's 2,500 of us, and it's the wives who have been networking, sharing stories.
That's the power. That's the energy of this.
You bet.
Yeah.
You raise hope, as you said, but I think awareness, too, for a lot of people who aren't affair or aren't directly affair. I've learned so much in the past couple of months just about the illness and what goes on, and I'm sure it affects your children as well.
It does, because the children live through, they see their father losing control in a lot of ways. They see the rages. They experience the instability. That has profound effects on a child's well-being and on their development. So that's the other thing that we do, is not just reach out to the affected survivor, but you have to also support the wife or husband who's the caretaker, and then we have to support and understand what the children are going through. It's a multifaceted approach.
And that's why it needs funding, and it needs it now. I could go off on a tangent here about what the NFL hasn't done. There's legal action that's going on. I know Bill has become a big part of your lives push this forward legally. But I want to talk to you, Mike, when we come back, a little bit about that, because it seems to me no big corporation wants to admit liability for anything, slipping and falling or anything. But there is a way to support the people that built the game and the heroes of yesterday without bankrupting the company, and shame on them for not stepping up. So more on that in just a second. Mike Adamly is here, and Kim is here, and it's the Mike Adamly Project, Rise Above, March 1st, 6 to 9, National Italian Sports Hall of Fame in Grand Piazza Ballroom on Taylor Street. Where else would it be? And get your information and tickets and everything else you need by going to the website, MikeAdamly.org, right? That's the best show.
That's
right. All right, more in a moment on 720 WGN and CLTV.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Kim and Mike Adamly are here. Mike, when did you know you were in trouble? I mean, when did it finally, you know, go from I'm concerned about this to there's a problem here?
In 1999, I was on the air at NBC, and I was just doing a routine sportscast. You know, tonight, Bulls beat the Trailblazers 96-90. Michael had 23 points. And while that was happening, it's like I had on the other side of this conversation I was having with the audience at home, I felt like this freaking tidal wave was coming towards me, and I inside was going, oh God, what's going on? And finally got done. Thankfully I was about 15 seconds away from done
from wrapping,
done.
Yeah.
And then with the sports cast,
yeah,
so
we got it, no worries.
Okay.
That's what the delay is for. Yeah.
My shirt was dripping wet, and I go, holy cow. And bottom line is I went over to Northwestern Hospital and was diagnosed by a guy named Richard Rovner, who's since passed away, but he was the preeminent neurosurgeon or neurologist in the city.
And this is before we called it CTE, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he said, you have a smudge on your left temporal hemisphere that was probably caused by, pretty sure it's caused by, you know, playing football.
Repetitive head trauma.
Yeah.
It was a lesion.
And that was like a lesion. Yeah, that's what it is.
So
that, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so you fast forward to all the news that's come out. We have this amazing facility in Boston where brains are donated. There's no question CTE exists. Okay, let's put that on the shelf. We know it exists. There's efforts going forward to try to deal with it. There's talk about whether a kid should play football. There's the Durison Act here in Illinois. All of those things are positives. But you guys were talking off the air a moment ago. We got guys coming home from war that aren't being taken care of. We got firefighters, we got policemen, we got people that have suffered repetitive head trauma again and again and again. And your dream, the two of you, is to help everybody, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's just remarkable, the stories that we hear from people, the heartbreaking stories. Parents, here's the other thing. Parents are writing into us because their teens or their adult children in their young 20s are experiencing these types of symptoms that we're seeing.
And
the reason is because kids started playing soccer at 4, and I know my older kids, they started at 4. They were still doing heading.
Sure.
And we started them in middle school and football and wrestling and all these sports. And what the research has shown of the brains is that the younger they start, because it's not just the concussions, it's all the concussion impacts.
Well, the brain, when you get a concussion, the brain swells. It's a bruise and the brain swells. And before the brain is able to get back to normal and recover, you're back in and you get hit again.
Well, what's amazing about the brain, it's like a bowl of jelly
in
a bowl that's too big.
Yeah.
And it sloshes around. So it isn't just the concussion that causes a major brain trauma, but all the smaller ones are also breaking those axons, which connect the neurons,
mm-hmm.
and that's what causes the tau proteins to break, become tangled, kill cells, tangle up like a snowball, and gradually start sifting through the brain.
So you get those lesions, that scar tissue.
Yeah,
and
it starts sifting through the brain, awful. Killing every cell it comes in contact with.
Dave?
Kim, did you ever think you'd know this much about concussions?
Yeah, there's
and
an
about
education
the brain?
You didn't ask for, right?
Well, it's kind of ironic. Mike and I kind of have a bigger perspective on life, and it's kind of more than ironic that everything in our lives that we've done are now culminating in this. My background is as a cognitive and learning psychologist.
How about that?
So I have a little bit of background in this. And then Mike and I, you know, we've been through thick and thin together and always had this great love. We divorced, but we got back together. So it's just
there's a reason for everything.
Yeah, everything is coming back
you're
together.
You're the epitome of behind every great man, there's a strong woman there for you. So I guess my question is, advice to others going forward, even parents who their little kids want to play football and soccer and wrestle.
That's
and
a good point. Mike, should kids play football?
Here's what I have to say about that. First of all, my dad was an all-pro linebacker for the Browns who became the preeminent sports doctor in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And kids who got hurt on Friday night, their coaches would bring them in. They would travel all the way to Kent, and they would want to see my dad because he understood the difference between what was an owie and what was something that was debilitating.
Sure.
But his thing with me, he said, you know, one, you're not playing Pee Wee football because you're not ready for it physically. You're basically, you haven't even reached puberty yet. And then the other thing is when you do, we want to make sure that you're as, you know, bulletproof as possible. Build up all the, you know, your neck, your thigh, all the place where the power comes from, and that will help protect you. He stayed out of my life, but he let me do what I wanted to do. And this is like the million-dollar question you always get all the time: would you do it all over again? Reluctantly, I said, of course, if I knew this thing was going to happen to everybody that actually played a game, I would probably say no. And then within a second of that, I'd say yes, because the greatest thing that ever possibly could have happened to me, in addition to opening doors to, you know, being a sportscaster, but was the group of friends that Dave knows this. We got a bunch of 40 guys.
The hard bodies?
The hard bodies. You know, we're not so hard anymore, but we all remember each other and we never forget, and you can't buy that.
No, it's a life that's built based on what you did. Dave, last word.
Okay, and this, maybe we don't have enough time to really get into this, but you are not anti-football. You're a guy who's loved football your whole life. Can the game be saved, Mike? I mean, can it be made safer, I guess, is the short question.
Definitely could be, you know, made safer. I mean, Northwestern's doing things with, you know, everybody's trying to, you know, make helmets more perfect. But football's like a physics equation. Mass times acceleration equals force. Guys are bigger. Guys are faster, so it stands to reason that, you know.
And guys don't tackle anymore. They run into each other.
Yeah. Well, and Somebody from the Ravens about when the last time they were in the Super Bowl was a defensive back, and I don't remember his name, but he was talking to the media one day, and somebody asked him about this whole thing. He's about, you know, football, where it's going. He said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised somewhere in the next 25 years where football becomes elite, because they're just so darn, you know, it's just amazing. And going back, you know, Lance Briggs, for instance,
sure.
You know, he was, you know, the one of the best linebackers the Bears have ever had. But in his last couple of years, you know, he lost a step. You lose a step in the game, and it's huge, you know. And he started launching his body so he
yep.
could, you know, and that's not good, obviously. So I hope.
The game deserves to be saved,
yeah.
But the safety and stuff we know now that we didn't know before is, I mean, it's really the vital piece of this. Look, you know how much this town loves you, and I know how much, and Dave and Andre know how much you love this town. Mm-hmm. The fight you two are fighting together is a wonderful thing, and I salute you completely, and I know you're going to keep fighting. And I hate to tell you this because I hate complimenting you, but you just look great. You're just as sexy as ever. And it couldn't be more annoying.
You know what?
It just couldn't be more annoying how good you look.
When I first got the news and they said there's really not much you can do except eat better and do meditation and all that crap, I said, well, I can do that. You know?
Right.
So I would work out every single freaking day for about 5 to 6 hours. I went to practice one day, and so Pat Fitzgerald goes, "Damn, what are you?"
I remember people talking about. Talking about Mike's biking to Utah this afternoon, and he's coming back.
I remember one day I was tired, and you guys said Mike bikes from Evanston to NBC. I think you were at then. You could buck up and take a bike ride.
But I think that's an important piece because you guys both said this, and before we run out of time, commit. Listen to your doctors. Commit to what's going on. But the depression thing, the hope thing you talked about.
Well, and let me just add something, that good news here. So since Mike found out about this, and we've talked about how, you know, extensively he works out and our, you know, how he eats, we did everything that we could. And guess what? The last 2 years since we started, his brain scans show no brain volume loss.
How about that?
And in the previous 6 years, he had lost 10 to 20% of his brain loss. So that's significant.
That's hope.
The doctors say this is the most that we can hope to do. We can't stop the CTE, but we can promote other brain growth. Keep learning, keep fit, eat well, and stay social, stay connected.
Yep. Talk.
Absolutely.
Talk. Don't ever hide. God bless you, man. Keep fighting.
Appreciate God.
Great to see you here. Northwestern, the Bears, his bike. Channel 5, yes. Larry Wirt.
Yeah, Larry Wirt. Yeah.
Line them up, baby. Line them up.
Yeah, I can't say enough about Larry because he's always had my back.
He's a good friend.
He was a guy who took me to the, you know, the neurologist way back when.
He's a good man. He's a good man.
Yeah, very good man.
Good to see you both. Mike Adamly, give me the website one more time.
MikeAdamly.org.
And if everybody can make it out, that'd be great. If not, write a check. Donate online.